Welcome to the Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. If you would like to contact Brother Mike Bronner, his mailing address is P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833, or you can reach him at KRSA at area code 907-772-3891. It's time now for the Fishers of Men on KRSA.
Army was closing in, enemies calling out to him. But David did not fear the shield or the sword. He made his way down to the brook. Just 5 stones was all he took. But he only needed one when he said, I come in the name of the Lord. I come in the name of the one who cannot fail. He will sustain, for his children must prevail.
I'm counting on my faith.
Counting on my faith when the triumph's out of reach. There's a giant in my way, I've been waiting for this day. Victory's just a stone's throw away. Tempter tries to say that there is no way. Your problems can become possibilities. But the battle's end is near, and Satan's fate is clear. He will try to run and hide with the Lord by my side. I can stand up and see.
I come in the name.
I come in the name of the one who cannot fail. He will sustain, for his children must prevail.
I'm counting on my faith.
Counting on my faith when the triumph's out of reach. There's a giant in my way, I've been waiting for this day. Victory's just a stone's throw away.
I come in the name.
I come in the name of the one who cannot fail. He will sustain, for his children must prevail.
I'm counting on my faith.
Counting on my faith when the triumph's out of reach. There's a giant in my way, I've been waiting for this day. Victory's just a stone's throw away. Victory's just a stone's throw away.
Hello, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. Sincerely appreciate all who've tuned in, and thank you for your prayers, and thank you for the attention that you give to the broadcast and for the support that and the many ways that the broadcast is supported by the listeners. The great support that we always stand in need of is your prayers. We believe in following the Lord. We believe that it's the Lord who grants us not only the opportunity to study and helps us to understand the subject, the matter which we need to address, but then when it comes to the time when that you stand to present the message, we believe it's the Lord who's there to lead and to guide and direct. And I just appreciate you praying for us as we try to do this work, that as we do the work, that it would be such, it should be truly beneficial to those who that tune in. We appreciate, again, we did mention the financial support that we receive. We have some very generous offerings which we've received from the many individuals and from churches, and thank you so much for those. We generally don't take time to address the offerings which are mentioned, because it seems like so many times that when ministry work goes forward, seems like that at times that When the dollar gets attached to it, it seems like, well, that's what it's for, it's just that. And we never want to leave that impression, because that's not what this work is for. So, but we do want, feel obligated and want to express our sincere appreciation for the support. It is very much appreciated. We had a song played as we come on, and as the song that we had played mentions, we're talking about the Lord and going forth and doing the work in the Lord, going forward and serving Him in His name. I think there's great biblical significance in that. And just thankful today for a work where the Lord has led us, the Lord has guided and directed us into it, knowing then that we can go forth with confidence that we're working in that name. And so when, as in as much as we go forth in that name, we shouldn't do things to try to seek our own glory or honor and bring high esteem to ourselves, but rather we believe we should be seeking that honor that comes from God alone. I think about what the Apostle Paul mentioned when he wrote to the Galatians. He says, "For if I try to please men, I no longer serve the Lord." So I believe we should be servants of the Lord in all humility, sobriety, and sincerity. And I believe that when that we do, going forth, knowing that He's leading and guiding and directing, He's the one we should seek to please. So I hope you've enjoyed the good song, enjoyed the good thoughts in the song. I know it truly brings good thoughts to our mind. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. And then after we pray, we'll try to take up the message that's on our heart. So if it's to where you can, you'd like to join with us, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the many blessings of God which You so richly extended toward us through Thy Son Christ Jesus. We ask You, Father, to forgive our sins and shortcomings and help us, Lord, that by the cleansing of Thee, our God, that we might be such that we could walk in the light of God and be service, serving Thee, our Father. And in, as we do, we believe therein is when we'll be the most beneficial to those who we come in contact with. So help us, Father, that indeed might be such that would benefit those about us. We pray, Father, today that You'd remember the sad and needy circumstances. Remember those who are not well. Bless those who are upon the beds of affliction. Help, Lord, that recovery would be granted. Grant, Lord, that we would ever be blessed with those things to say and be of such a nature when we can be a neighbor indeed to those who we come in contact with. We pray mainly for the lost, knowing those who know Thee not, nor the free pardon of sin, they stand in the greatest need. Lord, we pray that You would help them open their eyes, that their attention be called to their eternal condition, and Father, they might turn from the things of this world and put all their trust in Christ Jesus to be saved with that know-so salvation. And Lord, we pray for those who've been saved, that You would lead and guide and direct. Help us, Lord, that we would be such that those who are saved would come forward and place their light upon the candlestick of God, and becoming a member of the great house of God to serve Thee therein. We pray for the church that You would help her, Lord, to awaken to the needs of the time. Help her, Lord, to be fervent in Thy work. And Lord, that she would labor constantly and seeking the guidance of God in all things. We pray for the preaching brethren all who You've called to carry Your word. Pray, O God, that You'd richly bless them and help them, Lord, and we'd be prepared to stand to speak the great message of truth. We pray for our country. Ask You, Lord, to forgive her shortcomings. Help her, Father, that she would be blessed with leaders who go know how to go forward, know how to do the things and carry out the things which would bring this country to a place that would please You, and help us that we'd know how to support them as we ought. Ask You again to bless this work. We're thankful for the blessings that's already been received. Pray that You continue to bless and grant this work go forward. It'd be such You truly be pleased with. Forgive us again our shortcomings and sins, those things we fail to ask, fail not to grant. If we seek all blessings and favors in Christ's name, for His name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we prepared for this broadcast, we do have some thoughts we want to try to address. And as we address these thoughts, as many who've been following the broadcast know, we have been dealing with these subjects based upon what's sometimes called articles of faith. Now, these articles which we address, this is a rather short period of time which we use to try to address these thoughts. And if sometimes people want to study in more depth And if you have access to the internet, you can do that at an internet site that's associated with this broadcast. And that internet site is called fisherofmenbaptistic.com. It's Fisher, one Fisher, of Men Baptistic, as in Baptist.com. And there on that website, you look at that down the left-hand side of the page, you'll see a place there that mentions articles of faith. You can select that, and that'll open up, and you can then see a number of articles. There are 18 of those, and we're on the 12th one in that. If you would like to consider more information about these articles we mentioned, you'll find that there is more expansive information there that you can consider, and invite you to do so, and that's free. That's a free opportunity that you have there. There are also sermons there, some of the messages brought in the past, which have been presented relating to previous articles. You'll find those there as well. Good Lord willing, we'll have more up-to-date information as we continue to try to go on. Lord grants, we'll try to get other messages posted there as well, so that you might be able to consider these things and study them. So today we're on the 12th article, and the 12th article is titled The Harmony of the Law and the Gospel. Now when we refer to the law, we're talking about the law of God. We're not talking about the law of this state here of Alaska, nor the law of the United States. We deeply hope that the laws which go forward of man, that man gives a serious and sober consideration of the law of God before that they would consider even offering or presenting a law to be passed. I think that that is wise counsel. It's not wise to intentionally understand what God's will is and then try to pass a law that contradicts the law of God. But now the law we're talking about here, when this article refers to the harmony of the law and the gospel, then we just want to be plain that we're talking about the harmony of the law of God and the gospel. So we're going to read some scriptures to introduce our thought, and then we'll try to take up some points related to this article and just take our time and try to consider these. So out of the book of Psalms, we'll read out of the 119th division of the Psalms, and we'll start with verse 9 of this 119th division of Psalms. So beginning in verse 9, we find it written, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." We'll stop reading here. This has given us a reading lesson out of the 119th division of Psalms. We read from verse 9 down through verse 16 for a reading lesson. I notice here that the scriptures are teaching us about the law of God and the way that we should delight ourselves in God's law. Think about the opening part of what we've read. When the question's asked, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And now this calls our attention to a status of the ways of man, how that they are unclean. Because the scripture says, how can we cleanse them? Well, the scripture then gives us instruction by answering that question by taking heed thereto, that is, to our ways, according to thy word. What does God's word have to say? And considering the word of God, considering the teachings from God, we have the clean ways presented. And that's how that we believe that we find a great harmony between the law and the gospel. I want to touch on some points relating to this to hopefully make, and hopefully in the process, make sense of these statements. And we'll read then, beginning of this, as we believe that the law of God is the eternal and unchangeable rule of his moral government. And we're talking about his moral government. We're talking about the government which that we find ourselves an absolute irresistible part of. That is, we don't have a choice. This is the moral law by which the very air which we breathe, the very place where we live, our whole existence, governed by the law of God. It's here. It's you can't avoid it. When you think that you've avoided something because you know you have contradicted the law of God, but a red-hot lightning bolt doesn't flash from the sky and take your life immediately, I want you to know that's no indication and that the law has somehow not affected you. Just because you didn't receive judgment right off, I want you to know you are a living example of the mercy of God. And so the law is still there. It's just God's merciful to you to give you an opportunity to repent. And I say you, talking about me too, all of us as men and women. I saw a rule, a point about the eternal and unchangeable rule of God's moral government being his law. We find some references relating to this in such places as Matthew 5:17. Matthew 5:17, the Lord Jesus Christ doing the speaking says this, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Here we find the law of God still in existence. Think about what the Apostle Paul said, that, you know, we didn't do away with the law, yea, we established the law. The law is not done away through the faith of Christ. No, no. The law is still there. Like the Lord said, he didn't come to take it out of the way. He came to fulfill it. But the law is still there, ever present, unchangeable. We find another verse relating to this in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 17 said, "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." So there's not even going to be a tittle of the law that's going to fail. Why, it would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one even little iota. That tittle, I think about like one of these grammatical points that you make when that you're writing. You think about a comma or even a dot on an I, a hash mark across a T, just a small minute part is what I think of when I think about a tittle. I know there's been lots of study and references made on that, but it's a very small mark. And in comparison to the rest of what's written, it seemingly is a very insignificant part, but it's a part nonetheless. And the Lord said not even that much of it will fail. Why? It's easy for heaven and earth to pass away. I think about the inspired writer over in the book of 1 Peter that points out that man is as the grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of grass. Says the grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. One day this earth shall pass away. And when it does, the word of God will still be right there, steadfast and sure. So the eternal and unchangeable nature of God's law is set before us and declared in the word of God. And I'm glad today that we don't have to just think about ink dried on a page, but the Spirit of God accompanies this very truth into our heart to call it to our attention that what's being presented, that it is indeed what God has said on this subject. Think again, next phrase about this unchangeable nature of the law of God says that it is holy, just, and good. The law of God is holy, just, and good. You know, when I start considering this, I have to turn to the book of Romans. So much is mentioned to us. So much is presented that we can consider the nature of the law and the relationship, the harmony between the law and the gospel. Here, we find in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans considering beginning with verse 12, Scripture says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Now notice the question, was then that which is good made death unto me? In other words, is it the commandment that brought death to me? Was it the law that brought death to me? The answer is, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. There's our condition, carnal, sold under sin. The law did not bring death to us. Oh no. What happened was, is that the sin, when we find ourselves as fallen men, my friend, I fear we never will understand fully just how far we fail. Man fails so far. The Scripture says that by nature, we are sinners by nature, conceived in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. A man comes forth speaking lies even from the womb. But by the grace of God, yes, by the precious grace of God, abundantly extended unto us, we have the law which comes along and points out our nature. Where do we stand? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to God's word, according to his statutes. So the law points out this condition, and even thinking about what we just read, it's by the law that sin becomes exceedingly sinful. God's law stands up and declares, points out, it brings to our attention the nature of sin. Says sin's not one of these fictitious figment of somebody's imagination. No. But the sin is a real thing, and we're participants in it. More than that, there's a part of us that really loves it, wants to be engaged in it. And the law says that it is just so heinous a thing that when searched for and considered deeply, just one thing could properly describe it, and they called it sin. Sin. And the law brings it to our attention that we might indeed repent toward God with faith toward Jesus Christ to find forgiveness of that sin. And then we might come forward, lean upon Christ, follow after him through life. Because I don't know about you, my friend, but quite frankly, I think God just knows a whole lot better than I do how I should conduct my life. So it comes to my part then to trust him and to follow after the one he selected to be our guide, and that would be none other than Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God. So then there is a harmony between the law and the gospel. Another point relating to this is that the inability which the Scriptures ascribe to fallen men to fulfill its precepts, that is, the precepts of the law, arises entirely from man's love of sin. The shortcomings of which are identified in the Scriptures comes not from any lack of ability in the creative power of God, but it comes from our own weakness and love for that which is evil. I think about John chapter 3. John chapter 3 says this, verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light's here. Men has been revealed to mankind, but man's resisted it and turned from it because we have to give up something that we love, and that's our sin. And that's what this point says. When fallen man fails to fulfill the precepts of the law because of our love for sin. Another point, over out of Romans and in chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and think about verses 7 and 8 there, says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The old carnal mind, that which we're equipped with even from the beginning, it's not with a carnal mind that we can perceive and understand the will of God. No, we must repent and get that washing of regeneration, get cleaned up on the inside, and that we might follow after Christ, that he would help us to be clean on the outside. So there's a great harmony between the law and the gospel. The law says we're just exactly what we are. We stand and look in the mirror of the law and get a, and if we'll look at it honestly and soberly, and not say, well, what about so-and-so? No, no, no. What? Don't think about somebody else. Think about yourself. You know, sometimes when we try to reason ourselves out of the situation which God says we're in, it should make us think about how a kid, maybe your own child, has stood before you and tried to explain to you why really the thing that he did wrong or why what she did wrong, why really it was right. Well, we do the same thing with God, I'm afraid. But if we stand and look in the mirror of the law, we would immediately find just how far we have fallen. And then when we hear, here comes the gospel message that says to us, look to Jesus and he'll help you find forgiveness of that. And when you find forgiveness for that, then you can walk with him through life. And my friend, you'll never be absolutely perfect. There'll be some stumbling along the way. But he'll go with you and help you. Help you to be that which you can't be on your own. And that is a great, great breath of fresh air for this little man. And I'm thankful today to be able to know it. It's the truth from the Bible and speak about it here in this format. Think again about Romans chapter 8 that says, in connection with this, that to deliver man and restore them through this mediator, that is Jesus Christ, to unfeigned obedience to the holy law, there is one, this is just one great end of the gospel and of the means of which grace is connected with the very establishment of the church, that is the visible church of the living God. And I think about Romans 8, 2 and 4, which says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My friend today, don't know how you're walking, don't know even if you're saved, or where that you can follow after the Lord. But my friend, if you are, I sure hope that you'll step out and serve God. This has been our message, your time swiftly come and gone. Thank you again for tuning in. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church, praying God would richly bless you and yours.
You have been listening to The Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. You can contact Brother Bronner at area code 907-772-3891, or you can reach him by mail at P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833. Thank you for listening to The Fishers of Men on KRSA.